B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, February 25th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, are games officially now using the old MMO model of development? Plus, Comcast has teamed up with one of the largest League of Legends teams in the world. What does that mean? Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today playing a little bit of catch-up from over the weekend. Joining me to help break down this not totally important discussion, but it'll be a fun one, is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard.
What up, though?
And Joe Sloan.
Check a look, and I hate when I have to follow that drop.
It's such a good drop.
It's such a good drop.
But I would say a big part of our weekend has to be Frostbite, man.
I would say, well, that
is the biggest part of our weekend.
Let's just get right into it, man.
Let me start by saying I'm really glad that we're not doing our NPL update today, because I have not watched any of it because I spent the entire weekend out of Frostbite.
Same here.
Likewise.
Frostbite, first of all, was awesome. It was great. They had it at the Crown Plaza in downtown Detroit. A nice venue. I think it was a little bit crowded at times.
It was.
A bit.
But I will say that it was, for the most part, comfortable. It wasn't, you know.
They made very effective use of the space
they had.
It
they
was
did.
Much more miserable during pools, obviously.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot more space to sit and stretch out and you know, like when it got down to top eight. That was a mighty musty room, let me say.
Well, I mean, there's
only so much you can do to fight, to combat that, granted.
Right. But, yeah. I was only there for the first day. I was out of commission on day two, but on that second day, there was like a hurricane basically blowing through Detroit. So I'm not surprised a lot of people decided maybe I don't need to head down today.
No, I mean, during top eights, it ain't that many people playing. Meanwhile, in pools, how large was the entry pool? 1,300
people? Something like
that.
Wow. It was pretty big. Yeah,
this was a huge, huge super major, but we had a blast, especially
I had an absolute blast.
During top eights.
Absolutely.
Big fun.
So a couple of things that I mean, and if you want to get, you know, a deep look into you know, our thoughts about Frostbite 2019, make sure you download our podcast, which we did sitting in the middle of Frostbite 2019,
literally like in the sixth row back.
Yeah,
it's so just us with our recorder.
Yeah, you get a real good feel about you know, what the show was all about. But you know, a couple of takeaways that I had. You know, I really enjoyed, once we got down to top eights, seeing the competition that was there. I think parity is really good right now. There were only a handful of names that I really, you know, really recognized. I think that there was, you know, a few in there that were surprises to be in that top pool. Yeah. Some of the big names getting bounced early was huge. You know, and
Hungrybox out in the first couple hours of the tournament.
Yeah, yeah. To the point where they had him casting for, you know, the majority of it. By the way, and he's a fairly decent caster, you know, shout out to Hungrybox.
Yeah,
he's very good.
He's been in the scene long enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, you know, you had Mewtwo King that was bounced fairly early on.
Yep. We saw that.
Boyd was bounced right before top eight.
Plup was bounced. Yep. I mean, you know, the competition was definitely fierce. And I really liked seeing the character selection that we did once we got to the top eight, because you would think it's going to be a lot of Wolf, going to be a lot of Palutena,
a lot of the A or the S tier characters.
No Zero Suit Samus
right
in top eight.
Right, you know, we saw Snake
played in the top eight. We saw Richter Belmont go up.
Okay, so let me.
Richter Belmont going up against Olimar was just the most ridiculous matchup.
That was crazy because it was Myron's Olimar against, I think, who was it? It was Shutan. It was against Shutan's. It just against shoot time, and he hovers over the Belmonts for a minute, and there's a
crowd starts doing the Teemo cheer whenever someone hovers Teemo.
There was an air of utter confusion and disbelief.
Yeah,
for about a half a minute,
and like they were going into is this controller broken?
They were going into the match, and people were still figuring it out. And it wasn't until I think that first axe got thrown out,
and people
really realized, oh wait, this is happening.
They were like, oh my God, it's not a mistake or a button check or something like that. Like, people, and here's the thing. He went in.
Yeah.
That was a full set.
That was competitive. It was a competitive set.
And he almost 3-0'd Myron in that first game.
Yeah.
Dude, the room was as loud as I had heard it all weekend.
That may have been the most hyped matchup because it was just out of nowhere. It literally surprised everyone in the room. And it was a joy to see. It was really cool to be there and be in the middle of it and go, what is happening right now?
Yeah.
I think for me, what stands out to me most about it is how much the city of Detroit turned up for this event.
The whole Midwest, to be honest.
Yeah, you're right. The whole there was the group that came in from New York with like 12 people, and anytime one of their guys were playing, they were super vocal. A lot of colleges sent their teams. Yeah. You'd see like the like GVSU, so like Grand Valley State was here and playing.
You saw ads for St. Clair College. We've had them on the show.
We have.
They've now got an entire program in esports administration. That's fascinating. Yep. I think we'll need to have them back on the show
to
talk about that. That's really cool. And I love seeing that. You know what I mean? Like, it really felt like, the entire, Michigan esports scene kind of came together around that event. And it seemed like everyone was through in that weekend.
On that note, did you hear on the first day when the guy was playing Falcon and tried to throw the Falcon punch, like everyone like clench up for a minute, like ready to just erupt if they landed the Falcon punch? One time I need to see.
It was never going to happen.
I know.
It was never going to happen.
If you land it in pro play.
Yeah, right. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. We're currently kind of going through what was happening over the weekend. Of course, Frostbite 2019 was over the weekend, hanging out down there at the Crown Plaza downtown. That was honestly that took up the bulk of my weekend.
I was obviously down there too, but you guys pretty much covered all that big Frostbite stuff. But there's a bunch of OWL stuff going on as well. In fact, you mentioned what a joy it was to be there, and I have to say, I think my biggest joy from the weekend was watching history happen and seeing the Shanghai Dragons get their first win. But
damn it.
It's escaping me right now. Nate, do you remember who did they beat? Who was it that they took the town there?
You know damn well who it was, Robbie. That was my Boston uprising.
Yeah, and they got spanked by the winless Shanghai Dragons.
That uprising was quelled.
That was painful.
I enjoyed the social media action coming out of the uprising after all, where they're like, well, didn't play our best game today. In an understatement of the century.
What was your first clue?
They even had Color Hex back as well, which everyone was like, wait till they get Color Hex back in the lineup.
Here's the thing. I'm just now finding out that there was some misunderstanding in the two-way contract
with
rules.
With Fusions not being played.
I think we'll cover that a little bit more in-depth on low team damage. Our Overwatch.
Oh, is there a little scandal around
podcast.
This?
Scandal, I don't want to necessarily go that
people
far
just
yet.
People didn't read the fine line.
People didn't read the fine.
No, interesting.
Yeah, but I would say the little bit of time I had outside of Frostbite this weekend, I played a couple demos at home. The Devil May Cry 5 demo came out, which...
Did you get your devil trigger pulled?
You know what? I did.
That's gross. I wouldn't admit
that.
I wouldn't admit it.
Many times over.
Oh, not just once.
I want this game now.
You know,
right now.
Nate actually tried a new game this weekend as well.
Oh, yeah. What was it?
What'd you play?
I played Apex Legends for the first time.
Oh, how'd you like it?
I'm just as bad as that game as I am at any other Battle Royale game I've ever played.
Probably the last time he's ever played it as well.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't good.
I uninstalled that game.
Like, here's the thing.
Right when we were done.
It wasn't just
that we... Thanks, Jason. Thanks for that, Jason. Thank you for making me play that game because it's popular. Because it's the hot thing to play. Yeah, that was really fun. Watching my utter... damn misery while I'm playing this. You know what makes me the most upset about that is that I gave up three perfectly good workshops that I was farming on Fallout 76 because he wouldn't shut up in our chat room about it.
It didn't help. I think the gaming, like, you know, gods or entities, like, realized, oh, Nate's playing, let's really shit on him, because like our very
did
first
he get a
match,
Mozambique.
First of all, our very first match, the circle was as far away as I have ever seen it before.
Dude, it's so easy to get to the other side of the map. And
it was so far away. It was so far away. We died outside the circle running to it. Not just from the circle. People shot us.
Yeah,
us. Yeah, you don't get us wrong. But the game was not helping its case.
That is...
I am not impressed with this game at
all. You're not good at video games.
Lloyd did more damage than he did. That's how bad it was.
Well, Lloyd is a pog champ.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, my God.
So, Nate, is the shorter time it takes to play this game worse or better because you lose more frequently?
Yeah, for me specifically, it's worse.
Yeah,
and
okay.
I mean, like, the respawn system doesn't help because then I can just die multiple times.
I guess that is kind of a bad feeling. Like it's like the first time I played CSGO and I didn't realize that there was a shared money pool. So I'm sitting like, why wouldn't I just buy all the items every game? And I'm like, literally weighing my team.
Here's the thing. When I was in elementary school and middle school and high school, I was the kid that was always picked last for pretty much everything. So I'm used to it.
You know, totally.
I've never been particularly good at sports.
Sure.
So it's not like I have an ego that you can damage about this stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I had no false sense of like, oh, maybe I'll be good at this one, guys.
Maybe it's just the game is the problem.
No, that's the thing. I'm done. I'm done with Battle Royale games, period. The genre is dead to me.
I get nothing out of it.
Enjoyment. I get no.
If PUBG came out tomorrow with a Twin Peaks skin set, he'd be in there like gangbusters.
That's the next PUBG Mobile crossover.
Mobile crossover with Twin Peaks.
Yeah, see, no, there's certain crossovers where I'm like, yeah, that'd work. No, that really wouldn't work.
David Lynch is doing one more episode of Twin Peaks, but it's only in PUBG Mobile. You get the experience by playing the game, and you have to win one.
That's my nightmare.
Dude. You just described my personal fucking nightmare, Joe. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I can see Nate on YouTube, like, waiting for someone to post the video, but no one will do it.
I would get a brigade of our listeners. I would get 98 of our listeners to drop in with me to be my sacrificial lambs so that I would be able to see
You all just have to line up.
By the way, that has to be the strangest sentence that has ever left my lips since starting this show.
Yeah, yes. That's correct. Anyway,
you people are weird. You know that? Yes. I like weird things, but you people are weird.
Settle down, old man.
All right, we're going to leave it right there. But listen, we want to hear from you. How epic was your weekend? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, Comcast has teamed up with one of the largest League of Legends teams in the world. What exactly does that mean? Stick around. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, more and more games are launching before they're finished with the hopes of adding more content down the line. But why does that feel so similar? Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at BPodStudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling in the WWE, and Talk and Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, go to BPodStudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. With Anthem now on the scene, it joins the growing list of games that have come out in what feels like an unfinished state with the hopes of growing into a great experience down the line. It's got us thinking that this sounds a lot like what MMOs used to do back in the day.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, when Anthem came out, there was a lot of fanfare. When it was announced, there was a lot of fanfare. It was a BioWare game.
Everybody, the next great thing.
It was going to be the next great thing. And slowly but surely, over time, people got more and more evidence that this may be not what they expected it to be.
Right.
I got my hands on it a few weeks ago last month. I played it. There's a lot of comparison of it towards a game like Destiny and other loot shooters. And it feels very empty. It feels unfinished.
Well, it is the comparison to Destiny, I think it runs even deeper than that. Much like Activision kind of pushed for Destiny to maybe be released before it was ready, we saw the same thing with EA pushing Anthem along. And so it's getting released in this kind of unfinished state. We've seen it now with games like Fallout 76. They're not games not quite ready when it releases. It's turning into more than just a few instances of it happening. We're seeing it more as a trend now.
Well, I definitely agree, and that, you know, that this keeps happening, whether it's, you know, a game back in 2010 like Final Fantasy 14 that released in essentially a broken state that took 3 years for that game to be able to right that ship.
Yeah.
Or whether you're talking about much more recent entrants into that. And I mean, you cite Fallout 76 as an example, and I don't mean to sound like a 76 stan or nothing, but I think that, you know, the promise that was made with that game was that it was going to be a joint effort between Bethesda and the community that formed around that game. And I think that makes it at least a little bit different.
A better comparison might be the growing number of games that are using early access as basically release before release.
Yeah, I think that I think that there's definitely some fair comparisons to be drawing there. But regardless of what your opinion about Fallout 76 is, the vast majority of you know, public opinion is that that game came out in a fundamentally broken state. I won't argue with that.
Sure.
It did.
I mean, totally.
When you're talking about server functionality, it came out fundamentally broken.
And that's how a lot of people are feeling about Destiny. You're hearing a lot of mediocre reviews.
Anthem.
You're hearing, about Anthem.
You know what? It's easy to confuse the two.
I can see why you might mix those up.
That was Freudian in a mug. I literally have conflated the two of these games because that's how similar they are from a foundational sort of perspective. When you think about, you know, Destiny, and you think about who plays it, you think about the people who don't play it, the argument for why people don't play it are the exact same.
But,
the exact same.
And Destiny is kind of a fascinating tale of two games, because the at launch, it's
literally two games.
Well, yeah, fair enough. But it started off much like what we're seeing with Anthem now, where the game was very basic. It felt kind of broken. It felt not finished. But by the time, you know, a year and a half had passed, Destiny was a pretty well-regarded game by the end of its kind of that development cycle.
At least to the people that were still playing it.
Yeah.
But it got to a point where the people who were playing it and dedicated to that IP were happy with what the product was.
Well, but that's the issue, is that with the MMO, you go in with the understanding of that's why you, at the time where MMOs were at their peak, that's why you quote-unquote paid a sub. Paid a sub for continued support, for you to say, all right, how the game is today is probably not how this game will be 2 years from now, 3 years from now.
But
the issue here is that this is a AAA game coming out, quote unquote, a AAA game coming out and expecting people to pay full price, if not more, for special editions and DLC and all that stuff up front for a game that's not done.
But I don't think that's anything really out of the ordinary if you're going to use that MMO comparison.
Yeah.
I mean, Final Fantasy 11, 14, World of Warcraft, they all had box prices on them, and every expansion had a box price on it that you had to pay. You had to pay to get the core, the foundation of the game,
sure.
And then you made payments on a monthly basis to basically support the development and addition onto that game. And that's where I think this whole parallel is being drawn, is we're seeing a modern day interpretation of that same idea. It's the logical conclusion of DLC, right?
So, in a way, but at the same time, when you had a buy-in of $30 and then a sub of 10, that's not as big of an issue to swallow as opposed to 60 up front and then maybe 5 or 10 or 15 or in some cases 25 down the road for a DLC pack. That's the issue. That's the bigger issue. That's it's the cost, and it's about what that game represents in terms of its development style.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. We're currently talking about Anthem, Fallout 76, Destiny, games like this that kind of come out and promise further development,
right?
And an ongoing experience. And, you know, I think that this is a bit symptomatic of this, you know, buzzword that went around the gaming industry, games as a service.
Yes.
Right. Maybe not a buzzword, buzz term, you know, that went around the industry. And a lot of developers latched onto that we need to make games that exist as ongoing experiences so that someone doesn't clear it in 18 hours and then take it back.
Disconnect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and from a financial standpoint, too, that's a great way to make back more money than what you put into that game, right? But I think the issue that I have with it, and correct me if I'm wrong, this isn't anything new. We've seen in MMOs, but we've even seen other AAAs do it. Grand Theft Auto 5, you paid $60 for that game, you got a great game, and then they've gone on to do all types of great stuff with GTA Online.
But that's the biggest thing, is that you got a great game.
Yeah.
So before the online was even added in, before they took that direction for that game.
So why can't Bethesda, or why can't EA, why can't they give us that same thing? Like, it's
because they're
becoming more and more common, and we shouldn't accept it.
Because what's missing between those two experiences? You said it. You said it straight out. GTA 5 had a great game to get you into the door, and then when you went over to the online mode,
more GTA.
It kept you there.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Why isn't that the norm?
Because your game has to be good first.
Well, not just that, but
great.
a lot of these developers are trying to roll the two together and make them the same thing.
Stop that.
And I don't know. It doesn't always work. Sometimes it does, but it doesn't always work. There are games that need to be single player experiences. You can't have GTA 5 and also GTA Online existing in the same environment. That doesn't work. You need to separate the two, which Rockstar did to their credit. Mm-hmm. And that was very smart of them. And therein lies the difference, is that Anthem doesn't have that compelling single player narrative where you're investing in those characters.
That they promised.
We'd have that.
Exactly. And I think that, yes, you should be holding them accountable for something like that. Destiny is the same thing. They're trying to marry these two worlds together. They're trying to give you that compelling narrative and make it online. Sometimes that works.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think it works when you put it into the context of an MMO. But these games like Anthem and Destiny are trying to ride the line and have the best of both worlds, and they're getting neither. I think, you know, game players and audiences are fundamentally rejecting that.
And so, Joe, based on these feelings about Anthem, how is Anthem actually doing? Because it sounds like we are super negative and down on this game, but certain people have to like it.
Well, no, we've only got, like, really early sales numbers. I mean, obviously, the game just, you know, officially released recently, but, I mean, going off physical sales, which we do have some numbers on, we're talking doing about half as well as Andromeda did.
Ooh. Yikes.
About a tenth of what Destiny did.
Andromeda.
Oof.
Like, the early returns, and I mean, hey, once we get digital numbers in, it could look entirely different. I don't know. But the early numbers aren't looking super promising. And I mean, but we as gamers, we've said it on the show many times, we have to vote with our feet. If we think that it is acceptable to launch a game in this state and add to it later via DLC or whatever your plan
at
is,
full price,
then go ahead and buy it. But if you don't think that's an acceptable practice, if you think, no, you have to earn my buy-in on this title, then maybe take a pass.
But I think the difference, again, you can see the difference in something like GTA 5. Again,
yeah,
they took all of the time to develop that game up front, and you knew what you were buying. You knew you were buying a great, fundamental Grand Theft Auto experience. You didn't necessarily know that you were going to get all of this awesome online support
right
afterwards. Trying to roll that into your main sell, I think people understand that that's a thin sell.
Do you remember?
Like, there's not as much value. You're not getting as much value out of that as you would something like GTA 5.
Do you remember Call of Duty moving away from having a single-player campaign only doing multiplayer? The single player is what got the investment for players to eventually go to do the multiplayer.
Multiplayer
is your longevity. I understand that. But you have to have the single player to get them in the door.
Well, and they're not talking about bringing that single player experience back to the franchise as well.
Well, yeah. I think it had to do with their horrible numbers around the last couple of entrants in the franchise.
I wonder if that might have something to do with
it. I think it does. And the thing is that, you know, I think that is a fundamental part of the experience. However, there are people, and I will cop to this. I played both Modern Warfare games.
I did too.
So did I
only ever played the multiplayer. I never played the campaign.
See, I only played the campaign.
I did it all.
All right, listen, we got to leave the conversation right there, but we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, Comcast has partnered with one of the largest League of Legends teams in the world. We'll discuss that ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. Visit our website at CheckpointXP.com for our variety of Checkpoint podcasts. We've got the Checkpoint Podcast, as well as Checkpoint XP Daily, and a growing list of game-specific shows like our Overwatch podcast, Low Team Damage, as well as our brand-new show for Fallout 76, Checkpoint 76. Subscribe and download at our website, CheckpointXP.com. Anyone who follows League of Legends has heard of SK Telecom T1. They're one of the largest and most recognizable esports brands in the world, in part due to their 3 world championships, and also in part to having Faker on their team. Now they've partnered up with one of the largest companies in North America.
Yeah, so I mean, major breaking news over the weekend as SK Telecom T1 partners up with Comcast to create a new esports venture called T1 Entertainment and Sports. So
this seems like a big deal.
Listen, normally you would hear like, oh, esports team partnering up with someone, that'll be a news segment or something like. No.
This is one of the largest
companies in the world partnering with one of the other largest companies in the world. I mean, both telecom giants,
right,
first of all.
Right.
And this is going to bring SK Telecom T1, who is, as we said, one of the best League of Legends teams ever, 3-time world champions, into the North American scene. So now we're not talking about them joining the NALCS or anything like that.
I was about to say, Faker to LCS.
Because heaven help the rest of North America if SK joins, but.
But they want their brand to reach you at the very least.
That makes sense. And now here's the thing is that, you know, Comcast is not exactly new to the space. They did step into, I want to say that the Fusion was their first entry into there. Yeah, like definitely like in terms of like owning team ownership.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they've been sponsors of stuff.
I hear
Xfinity, all the time. And of course, being an internet service provider, it makes perfect sense that you would want to be advertising in the space, right?
You know, esports, right? Makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah. But I have to assume that Comcast has seen some really good growth with the Fusion to be able to, you know, or to be anxious to be more active in the space.
I definitely think this is them reading the tea leaves and sort of future projecting, future casting, if you will, what they envision that the landscape of esports will be.
Sure.
And I think this is also really intelligent because they also understand that the growth of esports is still very much so contingent upon association with Korea. I think this is them sort of also acknowledging that, hey, SKT is a huge brand. It's a pretty much at this point synonymous with what is esports for right. those in the know.
We were talking about moving into a region that is far more engaged in the esports yeah. scene than North America is. I mean, people we've talked about before, people in South Korea are, you know, esports stars, are rock stars there.
Yeah. yeah.
You can be just like what we would vision an NFL athlete as, you know, like kind of that pinnacle of sports perfection. That is very much what esports stars are seen as in South Korea. So I can see why if your goal is Comcast is to make your imprint more worldwide, and frankly, your Comcast, why wouldn't you want to look beyond the borders of
that's
North
right.
America? I can see why going with SK would be the way to do it.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Jack Sports Radio, 1010 XL in Jacksonville, and ESPN Radio 99.3 in Fort Myers, Florida. We're currently talking about SK Telecom T1 and their partnership with Comcast.
Yes.
Forming this new, is it a new company?
Yeah, it's an mm-hmm. esports venture, so it's called T1 Entertainment and Sports. So basically, it's going to be a new name that their teams are going to be flying under. SK Telecom T1 is going to rebrand to T1 Esports, basically.
Well, the
Philly Fusion, however, are not.
Now, here's the thing, and I think that this cannot be overlooked, is that within Comcast, you've not just got the, you know, the telecom back end, but you've also got the broadcasting back
yep.
end. And I think that this is where we might see Comcast and Xfinity start to kind of change the game as to where esports is consumed.
And this is a huge thing because we know that Comcast with Xfinity has its own bespoke streaming service
yes.
that they allow all of their subscribers to use. And Nate, I think you hit the nail on the head here, is that they're going to be able to take, you know, all of the sports that they compete in, because Joe, I think it's more than just League of Legends.
Yeah, so you just said teams. I'm like, well, that's just in League of Legends, right?
Right. Well, so their SK is now SKT rather is branding into competing in Fortnite, PUBG, Smash Bros, Hearthstone, and they also have an Apex Legends team.
So
now
you're going to be able to have all those competitions broadcast on the Xfinity platform, and whether you can feel how you feel about that, that's fine. But no matter how you feel about it, is that it will allow more people who previously maybe don't have the sort of context for Twitch, but do have a context for Xfinity, to watch and enjoy esports. I think that's a huge win for the sort of cross-cultural promotion of esports.
Maybe. I don't know. And my main question is, you know, who in terms of potential audience is using Xfinity but not using Twitch, right? Like, it seems like there's not going to be a huge overlap. And unless you're trying to extend your audience into maybe an older segment of the audience that doesn't watch Twitch on the regularity that young people do, then that might be valid. But then I question what type of gains are you expecting to have out of that?
Yeah, I don't know that the Xfinity app is really where you're going to see a whole lot of push here, because I think Comcast understands, like, they have an Overwatch League team. They understand that the primary viewership is
right.
going to be
well,
on Twitch.
And Comcast is NBC Universal
as
well,
too. I was about
to
say, that's the bigger thing. And Comcast
yeah.
owns NBC, which also has, like, a whole NBC sports apparatus that a lot of people
which has been making
use.
Big, big pushes with the Philly headline.
You're right.
Exactly.
No, you're right.
Exactly.
I mean, NBC has made some significant efforts to try to get into the esports space. We saw that with the Universal Open. You know, we've seen that with other tournaments that, you know, NBC has hosted or has had on their pipeline. But, you know, I do question whether that's the best way to try to go and push esports forward. And I mean, I get it. It's not trying to push. It's really trying to take a segment of the audience and bring them in to make them exclusive
yeah,
to Xfinity.
Because they can't take all of Twitch's audience.
No. I understand that.
Okay.
But I do question whether or not that's possible.
Well, I think what's interesting to see here is, are we going to see acceptance of Korean play in North America? Will people invest in watching a Korean team over here versus
they
watching
already
North
America? They
already are. The OWL.
That's what I was going to say.
Some of the best teams are all Korean teams. So
yeah.
that has very
representing,
little
by the way, representing North American cities.
Yeah, that has very little to do with, you know, how people are consuming. That doesn't matter. But I do think that them trying to sort of pipe everything over, and I really think it would behoove them to partner this with the NBC sort of brand and identity, because, again, that's old school broadcasting. It's validity. People look at it as trusted. And if esports are coming in underneath that banner of NBC, I think it continues to give it a little more panache and social capital.
All right, we're going to have to leave the discussion right there, but we want to hear from you. What do you make of this big partnership? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back tomorrow with the latest in esports and gaming news with Sarah Skopic. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis, and of course my co-hosts, who pull double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Better. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.